Today is found in the 7th and in the 8th chapter of the book of Acts. We left off speaking to you where Stephen was brought before the council, and when they looked upon him, his face did shine as an angel, and he was given permission to speak before the audience that was gathered in this council chamber. And we find that he spake of the history of the Jewish people. He took them back to Abraham and began to speak to them of the wonderful things that God had done for these people and how they had treated God in respect of the blessings that he had sent to them. This man, Stephen, was given liberty, given boldness, given opening to speak, and he was given wisdom and understanding likewise in the scriptures. When we read this chapter, we may thoroughly believe that he was filled with the Holy Ghost, that the Holy Ghost was speaking through this man, Stephen. And as he spake, he was given likewise to defend himself against the accusations which these false witnesses had brought in against him. For they had said that they had heard him speak blasphemous things against this holy place, and that this Jesus of Nazareth was going to destroy this place, and that he was going to change the things that Moses had delivered unto them. These accusations were by false witnesses. He had not spoken anything wrong against that place or against God or against his honor and his glory. But he was speaking to defend the truths that God had given unto these people, and of which they were not worthy anymore to receive. For they had been God's peculiar people, and they had by their disobedience and by their transgressions of the law, which God had given unto them, made themselves unworthy anymore that God should dwell amongst them. And therefore Stephen, filled with the Holy Ghost, is speaking unto them. And when he sees that his message was being tedious, was being boresome to them, but when they could not bear it any longer, and when he noticed on their faces that they were about ready to silence him, he immediately changed the way that he spake. If you take particular notice, he came to a place and then he stopped abruptly. He had been preaching the gospel to these people out of the Old Testament, but when he seen it wasn't received, then he stopped and he spake unto them and he rebuked them so sharply. Had it not been that we believe that he was filled with the Holy Ghost, we would think that he took offense according to the way that they were looking at him, that he was given to speak and to answer them according to the way that the prophets likewise had admonished and rebuked them. And he said unto them, "Ye stiff-necked of heart and of ears, ye always do resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do you. For which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted and slain, who proclaimed the coming of the Just One? So they likewise were just like their fathers. Their fathers had likewise been stiff-necked and uncircumcised of heart. They did not listen to the messages that God had brought to them by the prophets, and they would not listen. They slew some of them, and they went on in their sins and in their iniquities. And therefore, this man Stephen was given to rebuke them according to the way God had rebuked their fathers. They weren't any different. Their fathers had resisted the Holy Ghost, which spake by the mouth of the prophets unto them. And they likewise had been doing the same thing. They had resisted the Holy Ghost when Christ was even upon earth and he spake to them. They resisted his voice, they resisted his spirit, and when he sent his apostles amongst them, they resisted them. They came with much more gifts and much more signs and tokens than even the prophets had, and still they would not listen to them. All these people, they resisted the Holy Ghost, not only in the mouth of the prophets and of the apostles and of Christ, but they resisted the Holy Ghost in their own conscience, which witnessed to them and told them that this was the truth that they were listening to, and they went over the top of it, they wouldn't listen to it. Therefore he called them stiff-necked and uncircumcised of heart, and ye always do resist the Holy Ghost. All my hearers, we are in a bit different. We have a nature too that always resists the Holy Ghost. How long have you been listening to the gospel? How long has God been pleading with you to return unto him and through the medium of his word through his servants? And you have always resisted even to this day. And if we have grace, we find that likewise we also resist the Holy Ghost. We have a nature, and that is a fleshly nature. The flesh is opposed to the Spirit, and therefore we always resist the Spirit of God. But in the day of God's power, then his elect, they are given by his grace to receive the Spirit, and this Spirit is victorious. This Spirit overcomes all their resisting and all their enmity and all their rebellion. Oh, what a mercy, my hearers, if you have experienced this in your life, that you could not go on any longer in your sins, but that you were given by his grace to return unto him. Oh, we would call this not irresistible grace, but victorious grace. It comes as a victorious blessing in our hearts and overcomes us. Oh, the elect only are given this in the day of God's power, in the day when he has designated they should be born again and receive this blessing. And these people, the Jews, they resisted the Spirit, and they resisted Stephen likewise, who was speaking unto them by the power of the Holy Ghost. He pointed out to them how that they likewise had slain many of these prophets. They were persecutors of them. And then he brought home to them likewise that they had been the betrayers and the murderers of this just one who had come amongst them. They had been this to Jesus. They had likewise caused him to be put to death. This council that was listening to him were the ones that had done this, and they likewise had shamefully put him to death. They had desired that he should be crucified, and he was as a blasphemer. They crucified him. And so he brought home to them of whom ye have been the betrayers and the murderers. Oh, what a sharp word, what an awful word to hear from the mouth of such a person as this man, Stephen. And this word, as the scripture says, cut them to the heart. It raised up in them such an anger, such an envy, such a malice, such a rage. Oh, they were uncontrollable inside. They became so mad at this man, Stephen, because he called them the betrayers and the murderers of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, whom they had been expecting. This word, cut to the heart, is so different than being pricked to the heart, as I explained to you when we were teaching you out of the fifth chapter. There likewise we have the same word, cut to the heart. And so with these people, all this cut to the heart is an awful thing. Cut to the heart is when we are filled with enmity against God and against his son Jesus Christ. It's a mercy, my hearers, that when we are given by faith to experience our hearts to be softened. Faith is such a wonderful grace. It humbles and it heals a heart. But when it comes like it did with this, then, oh, it raises up the rebellion and the rage and the anger that we all have by nature in our hearts against God. And so it was by these Jews that were before this man, Stephen. And when they heard this, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed with their teeth upon him. Oh, we read in Scripture that there will be an awful eternity for those that die in their sins, there will be gnashing of teeth. And so this gnashing of teeth that these men likewise did before Stephen was a token of their enmity and of their hatred against this God in heaven above, who Stephen was speaking for and who he was testifying for. And these men, they became so angry that they stopped their ears, just as he said, "You are uncircumcised of heart and of ears." They stopped their ears as if they didn't want to listen to this man anymore, that he was blaspheming. He wasn't telling the truth, that he was coming forth with the truth to these people, but they would not give ear to him, and they stopped their ears, and they ran upon him, the Bible says. In their anger and in their malice, they went for him. But when they approached to come to him, he cried out and said, "I see the heavens open." Oh, my hearers, stopping at this point, I would say what a mercy this was for this man, Stephen. Oh, his God was with him. His God directed him to look to the heavens. When these people were ready to come upon him, then the heavens were open. Jesus was with him. Oh, who would we fear if Jesus is with us? Oh, the psalmist says in Psalm 27, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Even if a host come up against me, I would not fear." Here was a host in the front of him. And this man, when he saw the heavens open, he saw the glory of God, and he seen Jesus standing at his right hand. Oh, what a mercy, my hearers, to have such a manifestation of Jesus Christ, so near to being slain, so near to dying, than to have Jesus appear. Oh, dying is no death then, my hearers. Oh, it's a mercy when we're going to die that we have such a manifestation of Jesus to our hearts. Oh, seek this, my hearers, in this life. Seek to know this Jesus, so that when the day of death doth come, that he might appear to you and manifest himself unto you. And death will be no death. It was not a death for this man, Stephen. For the end of this chapter says, "And he fell asleep." It was not that he died, he fell asleep. As Stephen then was speaking to these people, and he said he seen the heavens open, and he seen the glory of God in Jesus Christ standing at his right hand. You would think that these people that were rushing upon him would stop. They would be afraid. You'd think they would say to each other, "Let us refrain from this man, for God is smiling down upon him. God is revealing that he is one of his children." But they stopped their ears. They wouldn't listen. This is the way these Jews were. They ran upon him in anger and in malice. And this man, Stephen, he uttered two prayers just before he was stoned. He uttered one prayer for himself, and that was, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Oh, what a wonderful prayer, my hearers. I am afraid very few people can say that when they're on the verge of eternity. It's a blessing to die praying. Listen to me, my hearers. Are so many people, they curse, they swear when they're going to die. They're in pain, they're in agony, they can't stand it. Oh, they cry out in this way. So many are silent, they say nothing. How few die praying like Stephen. It's a mercy to die praying. And so this Stephen prayed two times. He prayed for himself that the Lord would receive his spirit. Oh, what a mercy to have the Spirit of Christ dwelling in us and seeing him standing there waiting to receive us. This is the way it was with Stephen. He was soon to be with him. He was soon to be delivered. He was soon to sing his praises forever and ever. "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." He was so sure that Jesus would receive his spirit. There was no doubt about it. Oh, what a mercy to be on the verge of death and to have this assurance that he will receive us and that we will be with him. And my hearers, he also prayed for his enemies. When he seen them coming to him, he knelt down and he prayed and said, lay this sin not to their charge. He, like his master, Jesus Christ, upon the cross of Calvary, prayed. Jesus prayed, Father, forgive them. So this man, he didn't pray that God would avenge his death upon them. He didn't pray that the Lord would do something to them. Oh, no, my hearers. The Spirit of Jesus does not teach us this, but it teaches us to pray for our enemies. And so this Stephen was given to pray, even for those that were going to stone him to death. Oh, this prayer was a sermon to these people. Oh, when they seen him kneel down and when he heard them before he prayed with a loud voice, he did this openly before them. And they shut their ears. They didn't want to hear what he prayed. But he prayed that God would not visit them for this sin, for this was a hideous sin. This was an awful sin. And they were murdering an innocent man. And oh, what an awful thing. If this sin is laid to their charge, it would be to their eternal confusion, their eternal damnation. And he prayed yet that this sin would not be laid to their charge. Oh, my hearers, it's a great blessing. But when God gives us to pray for our enemies, so he was given in these last moments to pray even for those that were ready to stone him. And they ran upon him, it says, and they took him and they cast him out of the city. They cast him out of the city of Jerusalem as if he wasn't fit to be living in that city. Nay, not even fit to live in this world anymore. This is the way they felt about him. And they took him outside of the city and they stoned him. And oh, my hearers, there were those that stoned him who were the witnesses, who were the men that made this false accusation against Stephen. And according to the law of Moses, they were the ones that were first to take the stones and to stone those who they had witnessed against. And so we read that the witnesses, as they laid their clothes at the feet of one called Saul. And the witnesses, being in this case a laborious act to throw stones, they took their clothes off, their outer garments, and they laid them at the feet of one called Saul. The first time we read about this man, we love to speak about this man, his name became Paul. But here his name is Saul. And this Saul, he likewise was a persecutor of this group of Christians that were stationed in Jerusalem. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon the name of the Lord. And when he had finished praying, it says, and he fell asleep. Oh, my hearers. The death is no death to anyone that is given by the grace of God to live in this world and to die in peace, to die, to go, to be with Jesus. Oh, what a mercy to die this way, my hearers. This man, he then likewise came to the end of his life very abruptly. He was in the midst of a wonderful work. He was in the midst of the church. He was a deacon. And he was a well-known man, well-gifted man, well-talented, given grace from on high to perform the duties that were laid upon his shoulders. And now this man was taken away. Oh, it was nothing for this man, Stephen. It was a blessing for him, a great blessing, to be taken home, to be in heaven above. But it was a loss to the church. But it was likewise a gain for the church. For he died in a wonderful way. He was the first Christian martyr of this church. And in this way, when he died, he likewise testified of Christianity, Christ dwelling in his heart, being an example for all those that read this chapter, so that he was given as Christ likewise to pray for his enemies when he passed away. If this man Stephen then, he was a blessing to the church, but he was likewise taken home to be forever with his Lord, and the church was without this man. And now we read in the next chapter that Saul was consenting unto his death. This Saul was a man that was a student under Gamaliel. He was a well-educated man. He was a gentleman. But look what he did. With all his education, with all him being a gentleman, he took the side of the Jews and he persecuted those who adhered to Christianity. He was consenting unto the death of Stephen. The commentary says they believe that he himself, Paul, requested that Luke insert this at the beginning of this chapter, that he, to shame himself, confessed that he had a delight and that he was one of those that likewise caused the blood of Stephen to be shed. And Saul was consenting unto his death. It's a glorious sentence that this man, if it's true, had Luke insert in this chapter to the honor and to the glory of free grace, that a man like this was changed from being a persecutor, a murderer, injurious, he calls himself, in two chapters in the Acts. If I'm not mistaken, in the 20th chapter and in the 26th chapter, he says himself that he persecuted those that were of this way even unto death, and that he took a delight when they were taken to the trial and they were sentenced to death, that he consented unto their death. This is the way this man was, a young man, a brilliant man. And now he was filled with zeal and filled with energy for the Jewish religion. And he took a great delight in the death of Stephen, thinking that that would be the end of Christianity, that it wouldn't go any further. And when this took place, there was a great persecution in the church of Jerusalem, and they were scattered far and wide into the territories of Judea and of Samaria. According to the commentary, on the day of Pentecost, there were 120 people that were gifted from above with the Holy Ghost coming down upon them, and were gifted to speak in various languages and to speak of the wonderful works of God. 12 of them were the apostles. 108 of them became ministers, became preachers of the gospel. And we find in this chapter that when this took place, this persecution, and then these ministers, for they were the objects that the persecutors were after, if they only could get them in and silence them, they were scattered far and wide, it says. And they, wherever they went, they preached Jesus Christ. These ministers then, that were gifted with the Spirit likewise, carried the gospel message far and wide. This persecution in the church in Jerusalem was an awful thing, but it was a blessing for the church. They persecuted it to destroy it, to waste it, to bring it to nothing. But in the overruling providence of God, it was a blessing, because this gospel message was spread far and wide. These apostles, they remained in Jerusalem. They weren't scattered. They withstood this storm, and they remained in their positions in Jerusalem. Now the Lord had said to these apostles, when he was upon earth, that there would come tribulation and persecution for the word's sake, and that when this did come, They were persecuted in one city, they were to flee to another city. And this order that Christ had given them, these preachers and ministers, they likewise followed out, for they fled for their lives. For they went from one place to another. And so this persecution, it was a bitter thing in Jerusalem. For in what Paul himself says, we may take notice what was going on in Jerusalem. He was a zealot for these Jewish priests. He was their general. And he, Paul, Saul, he went through the city of Jerusalem seeking to find the places where these Christians met. If they met in a house, he would go in and hail them out of that house. He would take them, men and women, and bring them and put them in prison. He didn't care whether they were the weakest sex or not. He would drag them through the streets of Jerusalem in shame and dishonor to their Christianity. This is the way this Saul acted in his zeal for the Jewish religion. He was an awful character in this respect. And oh, it wasn't safe if you were a Christian to dwell in your own house. Think of this, my hearers. Suppose we had something like that going on in our times and in our place, around this area. How many people would remain in their homes? How many people would come out for their Christianity? I am afraid many of us likewise would flee too, just like they did for their lives. Oh, this man, Saul, he was the main one that was furious in this respect against the Christians. He wanted to blot out Christianity. But he did not succeed, this man, Saul. And we find that these people that were separated from each other, they went one place and another went another place. And wherever they went, they brought the Savior of the name of Jesus Christ. A wonderful name, my Hebrews. Many people had not heard of Jesus. And just as some of the writers say, these apostles, they were so satisfied to stay in Jerusalem. Oh, they had a nice church. It was prosperous. Every day there were souls being added to it. God was blessing the ministry of their apostleship. And they wanted to remain there, but it was not God's purpose that his church should remain in Jerusalem. He had told them that they should start at Jerusalem, and from Jerusalem they were to go to the ends of the earth with that message. And they would have remained right there. They had it good there. But God sent this terrible persecution upon them, and they had to scatter. They had to disperse. And under the providence of God, it was a blessing that the church, instead of being ruled out and ruined, it began to grow. It began to expand. And now we find that there was a certain man by the name of Philip. He, you know, had been chosen to be a deacon. But we find that he's not a deacon anymore. We find he must have been ordained by the apostles to become an evangelist. And Philip, he was gifted with the Holy Spirit likewise. And Philip, he went down to the city of Samaria. Samaria was the capital city of the country of the Samaritans. And here Philip went to. And when he came into the city, we find he immediately preached Christ. Oh, they couldn't do any otherwise, my hearers. Why, they were filled with his Spirit. What could they say but start talking about Jesus, about what he had done, why he had come into this world? They were gifted with an insight in the death and the resurrection, in his sufferings, and everything that Christ had done, the Spirit had instructed them. And therefore they were filled with this message. And this is why when he came to Samaria, why we find that he began to preach Christ immediately. As you know from the scriptures, there were many in Samaria that had heard about Christ that were looking for the Messiah to come. And they, like the Jews, knew the history and knew that he had to come. From the story we have of the women of Samaria, we know that when Christ was in Samaria himself, Then not only did this woman believe in him, but many in the city believed in him. Not for the woman's sake, but for his own word's sake. So when Philip came to Samaria and began to preach Christ, God was with him. The Spirit took of what he was speaking and blessed it and used his ministry. So many people were given to believe. So many people came forward and accepted the truth as Philip spake it. They loved the man for the truth's sake. And not only did he preach Christ, but he was gifted with the Spirit as the other apostles were, to perform miracles and wonders. And we read that he came into the city of Samaria, and there were many that were possessed with evil spirits, who were possessed with the devil. And he cast out these evil spirits. Oh, what a mercy this was for so many that had this in them. And likewise, there were many that had palsies, many that were crippled, that were unable to do anything, probably had to be carried. And they were lame either on one side, sometimes completely paralyzed. And then when Philip came, he immediately healed them whole. Wouldn't you like to have a man come into the city of Clifton to do something like that? I sure would, gifted with such a wonderful blessing that he could heal whoever came to him, whatever sickness or disease they had. And those that were lame, they were made whole. And there was great joy in the city of Samaria. I sure believe there was, not only for the wonders and the miracles that were being performed, but because Christ was dwelling with Philip and blessing him and using his ministry to the upbuilding of his church. So many came, and when they came and believed in Philip's message, they became members of the church. He established the church, we may believe, in Samaria. And so we find that there was in the city of Samaria a man by the name of Simon. And this man, he had given himself out to be some great one. And he had for many years bewitched and fooled the people in Samaria. And they all adhered to him. They all said that he was the mighty power of God. And he had performed many wonders and miracles by fooling the people and doing these miracles. He was one that was a sorcerer. He committed sorcery. By this word, we understand that he was a magician, and that he, by arts and by different things that he used, he did miracles, and the people all believed him. They all held to him. But now when Philip came and he performed miracles, they weren't like what Philip did. Oh no, they were miracles they seen and before their eyes. They were miracles of God that Philip was given to perform. And therefore, they forsook this man, Simon, and they followed Philip. And when this took place, Simon himself, he started to follow Philip. And when he seen what was taking place by the hands of Philip, why then it says, and he believed and was baptized. So this is a wonder, my hearers, that this man who had been such a wonder to the people of Samaria was changed, and that he believed, and that he was baptized like the rest of the people were. How come that Philip didn't discern the spirit of this man? He was baptized. You know, when they were baptized, at this point, when the Christian church was just being formed, that this was an outward profession of an inward life. They confessed that they believed in Jesus Christ, not just historically, but with their hearts. And this man, Philip, preaching like he did, he convinced this Simon, mentally, historically, and he believed, and he was baptized. So many are like this man. We have been speaking to you about Ananias and Sapphira, how that they deceived the apostles, that they brought money to their feet, and that when they did this, and they held back part of the price, Peter said unto them, how come that Satan put it into your heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? You have not lied unto man, but you have lied unto God. Did not this man do the same thing? Was he not sinning against the Holy Ghost by making a profession of religion, by being baptized? He sure was. But he wasn't made an example of like Ananias and Sapphira. God didn't strike him dead. But this man, he didn't reveal at first what was going on in him. So many, my hearers, they make a profession of religion. They make a profession of Christ. All they seem to shine as brilliant Christians. But the Lord will reveal what is in the heart of man. Be sure your sin will find you out. So this Simon, he was carried along with the multitude, and he followed Philip, wondering at the miracles that Philip did. And now when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that the Samaritans had received the gospel, but they had not yet received the Holy Ghost, they had been baptized, they had made confession, then they sent Peter and John down to Samaria. And now when Peter and John, the foremost apostles, came to Samaria, then they came and they laid their hands on them that had been baptized. And when they laid their hands on them, they received the Holy Ghost. For they had not even heard that there was such a thing as the Holy Ghost. But now they received the Holy Spirit, just like the apostles and like the other Christians. And now when this man Simon saw that by the laying on of the hands of these apostles gave the Holy Ghost to these people, he went to these two apostles and he offered them money. Give unto me that gift, that on whomsoever I lay my hands, they may receive the Holy Ghost. Here he comes out, what he was. This poor Simon, we would say. He was a deceiver. He wasn't honest. He wasn't upright. This man, he wanted to have this gift so he could pass it on to somebody else. Oh, but he wanted to pay for it. Had he but went alone, had he but went on in secret on his knees, and had he but prayed that God would use him like he was using his apostles, it would have been a better sign. But there was no prayer by this man, not whatsoever. He wanted to buy this gift, and he offered that money. And when he offered money unto the apostles, Peter and John, and then Peter spake unto him in the name of the Lord. And Peter said unto him that his heart was not right before God. For I see, he says, ye are in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. Pray unto God that he may forgive you this wrong and this sin that you are doing. And this man Simon, he trembled. For certainly Peter must have said more to him what it would be if he had to appear before God and answer for this sin, for he trembled. And it says in the scripture that he asked Peter to pray for him. Pray ye for me, he says, that those things may not come upon me of which you have spoken. Oh, this poor man, instead of going alone, instead of coming down in sorrow and grief and repentance before God because of his sin, he wanted somebody else to pray for him because he had no prayer. How sad it is, my hearers, when a person like Simon has to confess and openly confess that they are deceivers, that they are hypocrites, that they are not upright and honest. So it was with this man Simon. Oh, this man Simon, he remained, according to what we have heard and what we read, in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. Oh, may God protect every one of my hearers from making a profession which is not true. We have to do with a God that has truth and loves truth and acts in truth. Oh, may you be given likewise to be honest, to be upright, to be sincere before him and before your fellow men, and not deceive yourselves for a great and never-ending eternity. The Lord bless the feeble instruction this day to your immortal souls. My time is gone, that's all.